Let's please turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. Last week, Jeremy finished chapter 3, but the recording didn't take, so can't get it online. And I think that's one of the first times that's happened in 20-some years of being a church. And so pray for technical difficulties to not allow that to happen again. But last week he talked about the ministry of grace and truth brought by Jesus is superior to the ministry of the law that came through Moses. Although it was great, it couldn't save people. It just showed people that we're sinners on our way to death. The ministry of grace and truth that came through Jesus is greater. And this week, Paul is going to emphasize that because of that grace, that we should be willing to endure all things. And we consider it actually a pleasure to endure all things and to realize that if people don't understand this message, it's because they're deceived by Satan. And to realize that all the hardships of this life, including just getting old and being in a decrepit body, it's a tent that's wearing away, but we're going to be clothed upon again by a new body when Jesus comes to set us free. And so really this chapter, if you're ever bummed out about the temporary problems with life, is go to chapter 4, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. And it just says, hey, pretty soon it's all going to be over. And all the current struggles in life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that we're going to have in short order. So that's our study today in 2 Corinthians 3:15. To finish up, you know, the last three verses of the previous chapter, which lead into chapter 4. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart because the Jews were reading Moses in the synagogues, reading the law, but they were veiled in their hearts from realizing, well, it's not so that we can start being as good a Jews as we can to get into heaven. It's to let us realize, man, I need a Savior. I need somebody to forgive me instead of thinking I can get there by the law. And so because they don't get there, the law is supposed to do that, make us cry out for grace from God. They're veiled. Their heart is veiled, still trying to achieve a righteousness of their own. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I see the grace for what it is. I run to it. I embrace it. And I believe and trust in Jesus. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. When we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit starts giving us more and more of the reflection of Jesus. We read the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is saying, hey, let's get that sin out of your life and let's put obedience to Jesus into your life. And so we're seeing, you know, in the mirror, we're seeing God working in us through the power of the Holy Spirit that he's given us, and we're being changed. Chapter 4, therefore, because we're being changed, because of this Holy Spirit, because grace allows us to walk boldly into the throne of grace and be there with God and be filled with his Spirit, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, going over, you know, I just wanted to read all of that to kind of get the context before we look at it verse by verse. In verse 1 again, it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, what ministry? Of the salvation of grace through faith, not the law. Because we're not preaching the law. Okay, you Jews, here's the law. You know, thou shalt not, thou shalt. and just try and remember that you didn't, you know, try and hope that you didn't do too many of violations of the law, because if you're a good Jew and you go to the temple and you do all the religious services and everything, maybe you're going to be okay as a good Jew. You know, that's not our ministry. Our ministry is salvation by grace through faith. Give it up. Give your life to Jesus. Because, therefore, since we have this ministry of salvation by grace through faith, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Do you think you'll ever... I see people changing the ministry of the gospel. We can't, right? I mean, we're only deceived if people go away from the gospel they're preaching and they start preaching a different gospel because people disciple them different, or because they want to get a better paycheck, or they want a bigger church, or whatever motivates them to do so. It's like, how could they have done that? Because I've received the mercy of God through this gospel. And so I don't lose heart. I don't lose heart that people are increasingly not wanting to hear it. In our flesh, we do. In our flesh, you sit there and go, man, you know, why don't people just respond? It used to be back in the 70s, a Christian band could set up on the beach, as I've said before, and start preaching the Bible, and hundreds would come and wanted to hear. In a way, I lose heart that that doesn't happen today. Today, it wouldn't happen. You couldn't do it. You can't recreate it. People are turning off their minds from the gospel of Jesus Christ to even receive it. But I don't lose heart. Why? Because it's an unshakable, unmovable foundation of Jesus, and we know he told us it would be like this in the last day. And it's not like I can go to something else. He saved me with this gospel. I've received the mercy of God. Verse 2, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The importance of never peddling the gospel of Jesus. Now, again, Paul is comparing himself to the false teachers that are coming in to still teach the law. And he's saying, but we have renounced the hidden shames, and we're not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, like they are, is really what he's saying. And like today happens, by charging for it, people that charge for the gospel, by changing it so the masses will embrace it. Is that happening today? Yes, it is. And you know, I was talking to somebody that really enjoys Charles Stanley, and I was telling him, it's such a grief to Charles Stanley that his son Andy Stanley, who's a megachurch pastor, much more popular, is preaching a different gospel. And it grieves Charles Stanley, the dad, that his son is preaching a different gospel. But people are doing so because they're handling the word of God deceitfully to be approved by the masses. I mean, I don't know what the motivation is, but he grew up knowing the narrow-minded gospel of Jesus Christ and no longer preaches it. He's going with the emergent because that's what he's been discipled with. Why he's done it, I guess, what he would have to answer. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves. You know, we can't join with other religions. Now, many of us have heard Mike Pence give his testimony, right? Powerful testimony, apparently, of believing in Jesus Christ. He met with the Pope for an hour this last week. How many people knew that? And it was like way over what it was supposed to be and what it normally is with anybody. He came out of his meeting with the Pope and he says, "You've made me a hero." And said, "Your holiness and God bless you." And what he meant by "you're a hero," he grew up in a Catholic church. And so then he left the Catholic Church to become an evangelical Christian, born-again Christian. And so then he's saying, "You made me a hero with my family because I got to meet with the Pope." Jane. Okay. Okay. So thank you for that. So the reason why he's claiming to be a hero, because I've been searching the news about why, because there's been different ideas about that, and they've equated it to because it would be a hero to his Catholic side of his family. I didn't know about the medallion. So he was given a medallion that he'll be able to give to his mother. But now, let's think about this. Deep, deep, deep down gospel. His mother's deceived into a Catholic faith that is going to damn her soul. Because she's trusting in Mary. Because she's trusting in being able to say so many Hail Marys is somehow absolving sin instead of having faith and trust in Jesus. The very fact that she is praying to Mary as the Catholic believed co-redemptrix of Christ that is helping to dispense the graces of Jesus through the Church of the Catholic Church and through the sacraments of the Church, which is a different gospel. It's a different gospel that hardly anybody is saying. Catholicism is a different gospel today. And so a hardcore, he could be truly born again, but he's deviating from what Paul is emphasizing here. We're not switching anything. We're not being deceitful in any way. It's deceitful to give credence to another false gospel as if there's some credibility to it and it's in a relationship with God. Pope could have said, hey, I want to give this to you. Nope, I'm an evangelical Christian. I don't believe that and trust that the dispensing of the graces of God was through the Catholic Church and through the seven sacraments of the Catholic Church. Well, how about your family? I'll give this medallion. Why do I want them to still be deceived? Why do I want to encourage them in this medallion probably turn into an icon that they're going to sit in their living room and bow down and worship? Why would I want to do that, Pope? I want to be saved. I want to go to hell like you. And you leading millions of people to hell. I mean, it would have been a shorter meeting. But I say that. He could truly be saved. But he's compromising the gospel. Was Peter really saved? Of course we know he was saved. Was he compromising the gospel when he got up from the table? He was sitting down with the Judaizers that came, when men from James came, he stopped sitting with the Gentiles and he moved over to the Jews because it was Jewish thinking at the time that you can't associate and eat with the Gentiles. So was Peter compromising? Yes, we know as a fact he was compromising because Paul rebuked him for doing so in the book of Galatians. So we can be saved, but what Paul is emphasizing here, we've got to stick with the gospel because the gospel of grace is so much more glorious than the gospel of the law, which the rest of the world is living on. Whether you're Buddhist, Hindu, or whatever, they all are saying, I can work my way somehow to be God or get into heaven or whatever. And so the gospel of grace is the only thing that grace and faith in Jesus Christ, that's the only way to get saved. We're never supposed to let even one iota of that be compromised. So we can commit to that. Try to. And not just to, Pence has got a tough job. Can you imagine what would happen? They'd impeach him before they forget Trump. We're going to impeach Pence if that's what would have happened. But even if our gospel is veiled, people can't see the glory of the gospel of Jesus. It is veiled to those who are perishing. What does that mean? I mean, does that mean they're going to physically die? No, it means they're going to be banished forever from the presence of God in a place called hell, the lake of fire, because they didn't embrace what it took to be saved and were instead trying to develop a righteousness of their own by some method of works. There's 1,000 different ones that Satan has set up in the world, and they would perish. Whose minds, the minds of these people who are perishing because their minds are veiled, whose minds the God of this age, who is that? Satan. See, Satan is the little g, God of this age, this age of the world that started at the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve fell, the world was turned over to a restrained Satan in control. God restrains him. But he is the God of this world. He's the God of this age. The God of this age has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So they won't let the gospel shine into them. And why? Well, the Calvinists will say because they're not chosen. But that's not what Paul's saying here. If they're not with us, it's because they've been chosen to go to hell. That he doesn't say that. He says that their minds are blinded by the devil Satan, lest the light should shine in. Well, how does the devil get people to be blinded against the gospel? By pride. Because men don't want to receive the gift of everlasting life that requires them to bow the knee and say, Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Lord and Savior. And that's the reason why people don't get saved. They want to have something that they do. And In Romans 10:2, turn there for a second. Romans 10:2 is a parallel passage. Now, all sin, including the rejection of God, involves the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, attempting to obtain a righteousness of their own. And that's what Paul said about the Jews, which is really what Paul is dealing with here in 2 Corinthians. For I bear them witness, the Jews, I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. They are really zealous to try and get to God, as Catholics are, as Buddhists are, as Mormons are. But, well, actually, Buddhists aren't trying to get to God. They're trying to reach nirvana, you know, and Hindus and Buddhists trying to end the cycle of life and be, you know, enter in a state of utopia, but not according to knowledge. They don't have the true knowledge of the true God. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, which is what? Salvation by grace through faith in Jesus, that we get given righteousness because we cease from our own works and receive His grace upon us through faith in Jesus Christ. Being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So we believe when we turn away from thinking we can be God or get to God through what we do in obedience to the law, whether it's the law of God or our own law that we make up, we think we can get there. Going back to verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. You know, Paul's saying, we're not here to preach ourselves. We're preaching Jesus, and we're your slaves. We're doing this for God, for your sake, for Jesus Christ. You know, we came in here compelled to do it. Every time we go into the jail, the first thing I do is tell them, because there's new people every time. The reason we're here, it's not because we get any bennies. It's not because I'm going to get a higher place in heaven. It's not because I get paid more for coming here. It's simply to tell you about the love of Jesus Christ so you can join us in heaven. That's the only reason we do it. We're bond slaves of Jesus to bring you this message so that you can have everlasting life. You know, and I talk to Mormons, and they say, yeah, we believe in Jesus. Look at our church name, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I said, yeah, but you come here and you never tell me about what Jesus did. You never tell anybody. You never tell my neighbors or anybody else. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You're preaching your church. You're preaching your system of works to get to heaven. Or you think, or to become God, actually, to become God of their own planet. Muslims, what do Muslims preach? What is the big thing that makes you a Muslim, if you can say it? There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His prophet. They don't preach Jesus. They preach Allah, the moon god, and Muhammad is His prophet. Catholics, again, they preach Mary. You don't go to a Catholic and say, let me tell you about Jesus and what He did on the cross. They'll never tell you. And that's the key. And so what does all that mean? What should people say about you? Oh, Kevin or you, or put your name in there. They just want to get into this Jesus. They want to just talk about Jesus. And that's the difference. Listen to the TV preachers. Listen to the emerging church. Listen to what they're saying. It's not, I want to tell you about Jesus. Or discipling the saints, because church is for discipling the saints. It's how has Jesus made it so that we have a life and a commission to be used of Him to preach to those who are lost, accurately teaching them about the salvation through Him. So, true believers, we should be known for being all about Jesus, right? And that's what Paul is saying. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So God the Father commanded Jesus, hey, the world's dark, they're self-righteous, even our Jewish people are. I'm commanding, you know, Jesus, you go down there as a light in the darkness to be the exact reflection of who we are into this world. That's what Paul is saying. It was God put this together. God gave us this plan of Jesus, who has shown it, and that Jesus shone in our hearts the grace of God to be forgiven. To preach Jesus is to preach the true God. But we, verse 7, have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Powerful 5-6 verses that we'll go over in detail. But we have this treasure. What is the treasure? The treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace, salvation in Jesus Christ, sent by God, that Jesus was sent by God to put a light into the world that's shining inside of us. He just got done saying. In earthen vessels, what are they? Our fallen human being bodies. Our fallen nature that's still fallen, except the inner man and the inner woman is now being renewed day by day. And this is in earthen vessels. God has chosen to do it this way, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So, people have been saying ever since the church was born, something happened to them. Something happened to Peter. He's gone from this attitude to preaching Jesus. He was denying a few days ago. Now he's preaching. Something happened to Paul on that road to Damascus. Something happened to Stephen. Times millions of people. Wow, I knew him before. Wow, what happened? That the excellence of the power of God would be displayed. That people know that there's something unhuman. It's not just human effort that changes us. And they can reject it still, but they can't deny that something happened. And even my dad, I'd ask, Dad, something happened. And he would recognize, okay, you're right. Something's different about you. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. What makes us hard pressed on every side? Well, Paul and us, hard pressed, if we are living for Jesus, is the world enjoying listening to the gospel through us? No. Could they be pressing upon you at work or at your neighbors or the people you talk to? And hard pressed, but I'm not crushed. Why am I not crushed? Because it's not about me, it's the gospel. I don't have to let it stop me. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I have to honestly say at times I'm just perplexed that something so simple as what it takes to be saved gets so rejected by people that I love. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair about it. Why? Because I just rejoice that the seeds got planted. God told me the parable of the sower. He told me about the seeds, and I know that the three types of soils, that they're going to perish. And I know that the good soil, and very few are going to be the good soil to receive that seed and to allow it to grow. And I just know I'm not perplexed, because I'm perplexed, except I'm not in despair because I know it's their choice. Persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. Why are we not forsaken? Because God hasn't forsaken us. The world can leave us. Our friends can leave us. Husbands and wives can leave. I was just talking to somebody this last week. It's interesting. It goes along with our Mormon evening service, the tape on DNA versus the Book of Mormon. And there's a lady in our fellowship, and she didn't even come. She just knew we were going to do it, and she wrote and said, here's my story. I was married, and then the family found out that my husband was a direct descendant of Brigham Young somehow. And so he decided he wanted to be a Mormon and wanted to go full bore with an extra wife, and so brought her into our house. And then that didn't really work out too well, as you can imagine. Had to fight for custody. We got full custody of the kids and all this other stuff. And I'm saying this tonight because she gave me permission today Because I said, I want to hear the whole story, and you wouldn't mind to share it with the church. And she goes, oh, no, I'll share it with the church, so one of these days we'll have that. I mean, we studied something. For those people that came Sunday night, you know what we've heard, and we have another video about the whole polygamy thing. And this is real. I mean, see, people are really going through stuff. She got persecuted, forsaken. She was persecuted, forsaken by a husband, but God will never leave or forsake us. So we can let persecution come. And it must have been gut-wrenching. Can you imagine going through that? Can you, you know, especially you women, can you imagine the husband just say, hey, change religion, and or, you know, I don't know what he believed before that. We'll get the details later. But, you know, I'm going to bring another wife in here. I mean, I just imagine the emotional trauma associated with that. And then having to fight for the kids over that to keep that, them from being messed up. It's horrible. But what would get her through this and get me, you know, I mean, if I was dealing with issues like anything like that, it would be Jesus will never leave or forsake me. And he never changes. Struck down. And maybe he's talking about being killed, but not destroyed. They can strike down my body, right? They struck Paul's head off of his body. But he wasn't destroyed because his soul was instantly in heaven with God. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So every day we should wake up really with this prayer. God, help me die today. Really? I mean, that's what he's saying. Doesn't mean like die to the body. He's saying every day I'm walking in love with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is going to make me die to the temporary things of this world in a greater way, so that, you know, dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also, less of me, more of you. That's really the prayer. God, help me die so there's less of me, more of you. And that's our sanctified life for the rest of our life. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And isn't that true? Think about people that have devoted their entire life to getting the gospel out. What did they have to do? Give up all kinds of things. They had to die to all kinds of things that could be just fine for Christians to do. They had, you know, just giving it up because they died for something more important. And we should challenge ourselves by the grace of God, the power of his word working in our life through the Holy Spirit. Could I die to this today? And to be honest, here it is, just Wednesday before Super Bowl Sunday. And, you know, what a praise Jesus that the Patriots aren't in. I mean, that was just that just made my flesh just so much more want to watch the game. Plus, I think it's going to be a really, really good game. And then I've been struggling with, should we just not have Sunday night service so that the church can go be pagans? And of course, I'll have to watch too. <You know>? So. And then the Lord just, I've been dealing with it. And the Lord was just helping me to realize, you know, who cares? Kevin, who cares? What's it going to matter? And I'm not trying to put a trip on anybody here that watches it. The grace of God, everything can do it. But I'm just telling you, these are the kind of struggles that what this scripture is talking about. I can die to that because who knows? Maybe we'll have fellowship here and something that's going to have spiritual edification can happen here. And even if it's for a couple people, five people, it doesn't matter. Kevin, you as a pastor, you should make it an opportunity for people to have a spiritual time instead of dealing with the stuff that's going to happen there with, you know. So, anyway, is that a good, yeah. Yeah, I could always, depending on what channel it is. What channel is it on? If it's five, I can't because I don't get cable or whatever. So. 7 or 13? Yeah, I could tape it. Actually, taping is such an archaic term. I could digitally record it onto a DVD. Yeah, because I don't have a DVR, because I don't have satellite or cable, but I do have my ways of getting it. So let's close with this. So then, death is working in us. Paul's saying, did Paul die to himself? Oh, yeah. Man. Just like he should be a role model for all of us. I mean, Jesus, of course, the greatest role model. He's fully God and fully man, but he never sinned. And actually, by design, he can't sin. I can sin. Paul could sin. And he was set free. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. The more we die to ourselves, in every way that we die to ourselves, sinfulness, everything else, we increase our witness to those who are listening to us share the gospel with them, or listening to how to be discipled into a greater walk with Jesus, which is what Paul's doing to the Corinthians. He's saying, I'm dying to myself so I can be life to you. Get rid of the Judaizers in your midst that are deceiving you away for the simplicity of the gospel that is in Jesus Christ. Don't listen to him say, I'm not an apostle. Don't listen to him say that I don't have the full meal deal. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. We're not manipulating the word of God. We're telling you the truth. And because he took the time to go there at great peril of his life to further write to them, knowing that some of them were going to hate him for it, and all this, he did that, dying to self, to give life to them. And aren't we glad he did? So, Father, we thank you for your word. God, we struggle in these mortal fleshes, Lord, that with all kinds of things that distract us from the truth and from the truth of a walk totally dedicated to you and death to self. And Lord, we thank you for your patience with us, and that you really allow the Holy Spirit to work on us so that we can say this year we're in a deeper walk with you than we were last year. And God, help that to be true in our lives. Help it to grow until the day really that we're done, to where we can put off this tent and be clothed upon with a new tent that is fit for eternity, and to be in the presence of the angels and you, and worshiping you for all of eternity, God, which if we really let that sink in, it would be such a joyful thing to let it sink so deep into our hearts and to live with the knowledge of it being true. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand and worship the Lord.
My life
is yours.
My heart
belongs to you.
My life
is yours.
My heart
belongs to you.
Each day, oh Lord,
I'll follow you.
Each day, oh Lord,
I'll follow you.
My life
is yours.
My heart
belongs to you.
My life
is yours.
My heart
belongs to you.
Each day, oh Lord,
I'll follow you.
Each day, oh Lord,
I'll follow you.
Each day,
with the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit helping us all along the way, without which we could not do it. And may the Lord let us depend on Him more and more until He comes. God bless you. Keep you in His care until we can fellowship again.